The big boy is on the line waiting, but I just saw this on the artist formerly known as Twitter, now known as X. Is the Penguins' Mount Rushmore, Paul, the greatest in hockey history? And that would be Jágr, Lemieux, Crosby, and Malkin. Is it the greatest in hockey history? Some others here. Let me see. Montreal, Patrick Waugh, Doug Harvey, Guy Lafleur, Jean Beliveau. That ain't bad. Gretzky, Messier, Curry, McDavid. That's not bad, right? I think the Penguins might have it, though, because I think they have two of the top four. They have two of the top four in the history of hockey, in my humble opinion. Mario and Sid.
Yeah, I mean, they have... That's pretty... That is a really good question.
Gretzky, Messier, Coffey,
Gretzky,
McDavid.
Gretzky, Messier, Coffey, McDavid's pretty good.
That's not bad.
You know what I mean?
But then again, I mean, like this person, he typed in those names and then he said, I would give the edge to Edmonton. Okay, but Jágr and Malkin aren't bad either. How many scoring titles for Jágr? Like Jágr is better than Messier, for sure, in hockey history. Paul Coffey was a different kind of guy. There's no doubt about that. He was maybe the closest thing to Bobby Orr after Bobby Orr, right? Why did my mic just go out? Were you talking in my ear there for a second?
I was about to say something. Yes, the big boy is on the line. The Steelers are going to name a quarterback coming up here soon.
Okay.
At least we're all being led to believe. And Mike Tomlin at the podium. The big boy is short on time.
Oh, the big boy is short on time. Okay.
Yeah,
no, just say it on the air. That's fine. That's fine. Let's get to the big boy. Pay him all his respects.
If he's on right now, why doesn't he come on like at 1:35 after the press conference?
Wouldn't that make more sense? The press conference is at 1:30.
Oh, well, then what's the problem?
He's tweeting. He said that Tomlin's expected to address the media until 1:30.
Well, I don't understand the problem here. Big boy, what's happening?
Well, I'm still fascinated with your Mount Rushmore. That brings me to the Mount Rushmore of the fan host. I'm thinking it would be Starkey, Vinny, Seibel, and Cook. What do you think about that?
Paul, are you insulted by that?
Vinny, Seibel, and Cook.
And Starkey are his Mount Rushmore. What is the Mount Rushmore of fan hosts for you, Paul? Is Vinny on there?
I would say Cook has to be on there, right?
Depends, I guess.
No, Starkey, you've been there.
I mean, if that's the best you can say about me, that I've been here, that's not much of a compliment. He belongs on the Mount Rushmore because he never left Starkey. I would put Zeiss, Mueller, Seibel, and Vinny.
Seibel and Vinny.
Would you? Limits? Who would you put on there?
What about Pony?
Yeah,
Pony,
I would put Pony on that list.
Yeah.
I'd say Pony.
Pony would put Pony Cook on that list, too.
Giannotti. Giannotti's on that list, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Giannotti could be
Giannotti
on that.
What about John Burton?
He was great.
JB.
What about Colony?
Colony's up there, too. This is tough.
What about Call In? I think Giannotti has
Pony,
to be
on Giannotti. Gets tough.
Cook.
If you like.
Vinny.
Colony,
like, sure.
Colony, Giannotti, both.
Well, wait a second. You
there.
Had me on there, Cabali. That was just a joke.
But now you're gone.
You just got bumped. You bumped yourself.
Paul, do you belong on that list?
No. Hell no.
Why?
Why would I?
I think Vinny belongs on that list. He was a legend.
Yes, he was.
He was very entertaining. Vinny, Giannotti.
I would like to know, Ron.
Pony.
What would you leave as a tip on a $40 lunch?
Do we have that clip from History Limits?
Not that I've found before, no.
When Vinny went after Ron much he leaves as a tip, and Ron freaked out. What did Ron say, Paul?
Why would you ask? That is personal information. That is personal. Nobody's business. I can't believe you'd ask that on the air.
Oh.
I know another good Vinny clip, think you're allowed to say that anymore.
I just want to know if you're a cheapskate or you're a sport.
What was the other one you had?
You're just going to have to Google Ron Cook and Vinny Ricci and Deadspin, and you'll find out yourself.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't good.
Yeah, that was bad. That
wasn't good at all.
Ron in Cook's Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones. Hey, Ron.
Do you have Ron from that clip and what he said? I think that's worth it to play.
No, I do not have that, unfortunately.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We have the big boy on the line. Before we get to the Steelers, how is your McAfee show tenure going? What kind of stuff do they have you doing?
I can do what I want. I'm almost my own boss, really. I mean, writing some stuff on the X platform, trying something different there, going on the show whenever they call and need me. And
how often have you been on TV?
A couple times. I mean,
can I tell you how much? Can I just tell you, Mark, because you're with me on this. These things really irritate me, Joe. Joe Block, I know he's a Pirates guy, but still. He just tweeted out, O'Neill Cruz's first throw from the outfield is the second hardest throw throughout baseball this season.
Wow.
Who cares? What does that even mean?
What?
What does that even mean, right? His exit velocity on his throw was great, except for it bounced before the plate and didn't get the guy out. So who cares?
I know.
Would have been important in the 92 playoffs, but not right now.
Yeah. Wait,
that wasn't that bad of a throw by Bonds. It was a little.
Oh, my God.
Line.
We're not going to get into this again. All hell broke loose last week.
Terrible.
Let's get into the Steelers. Are we ready for this?
All right, let's go.
They stink.
They're. a receiver. It would appear they need a receiver. Did anybody out there on the cuts list tickle your fancy, capture your attention? Anybody out there? Nobody would be an upgrade, is what you're saying.
I don't think so. I mean, it doesn't mean they're not going to bring somebody in just to test him out here in the next couple of days. But, I mean, you get what you get when you're going on that waiver wire. There's a reason why guys get cut because, you know, they're probably not that good. They got a bunch of those guys already, 2, 3, 4. I mean, your best possibility right now, and Roman Wilson did do some stuff today, not a lot, is get him back and get him up to speed. I mean, that might be what they're looking at, but I think they're just trying to be very, very patient with this Ayuk thing, and they have that. They figure anything can happen. It could get to the boiling point where they're just like, we're done. We'll trade him. Let's wait and see what happens. So I don't think anybody out there is any sort of a solid, significant upgrade.
Yeah, well, I mean, not even guys like Noah Brown?
He's been hurt a lot. I mean, do you want that? I wouldn't say that he's
better?
A significant upgrade. I don't think he is. He is Van Jefferson, so.
You think he's Van Jefferson? You don't think he's better than Van Jefferson?
Maybe a tad, but nothing to make a difference, I don't think.
Okay,
that's
so
a guy
basically,
you might want to bring in, yeah.
Basically, what you're telling me is that what we're looking at is what we're going to get.
At this point, yeah. I mean, until you figure out what the Titan situation can do, maybe they can make a trade here as the season comes on. Who knows? Maybe they're looking at, which will be very difficult, I mean, because they'll go against their philosophy if they wait till week 2 or week 3 to be able to trade for IU, but then you have to then negotiate a contract, right? And they don't like to do that in season. So I don't know how that works with, you know, a little gray area right there. I think they're going to go with what they have. I think they'll add some people. They'll add a guy, but I just don't see a significant upgrade right at this point.
Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show. Is that your proper title now?
Steelers correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show and a little WWE contributor, which I have yet to contribute until this weekend, but that's on its way.
All right. Fair enough. That's a little cumbersome. I'll definitely get the McAfee Show part in there.
Okay.
Fan Twitter brought to you by Peters Township, by South Hills Kia in Peters Township, I should say. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right, on this 53-man roster, I think that the three biggest problem areas are depth at receiver. depth on the defensive line and depth at corner. Do you agree with that? Or is there another area I'm forgetting? Where would you rank the top three areas of concern?
I think I would replace it. I would agree with two of the three. I think depth of the defensive line is decent enough. I mean, in theory, you got three stars. If Ogunjobi can play like he did during the preseason, you're okay with Hayward and Benton and Ogunjobi. You got some decent young talent behind him. And, you know, Liao and Loudermilk and
you do?
Logan Lee.
See, Bob Pompiani said the same thing the other day. They have Ogunjobi, who you just said is a star or a potential star. Well, that's the first time I've ever heard that. Well, they have Cam Hayward, who's in his mid-30s, coming off surgery. Benton's going to be a star. I do believe that. The depth is comprised of borderline busts and guys that people are talking about cutting. They have no depth.
You're not asking them to go out there and play 50 snaps a game. You're looking for those guys to play 12 to 18 snaps. I'm a guy who thinks Cam Hayward still has a lot left in him, and he's looked healthy, and I think he will bounce back in a huge way this year. I'm basing my Ogunjobi stuff. I know he hasn't been very good the first 2 years he's here, but he's looked really good this preseason.
Against who?
Against the guys he was against the Lions and the Bills, whoever he played against. I thought he looked pretty decent there. If he's able, I think he's slimmed down a little bit. He looks like he's healthier than ever. You have that. Then you got those other guys. Dean Lowry is just a plugger, right? A guy that's been there, done that, can get you 20 snaps a game. You're not expecting a lot from him. Where I have a potential issue is obviously slot corner and outside corner. I mean, you only got one slot corner really on the roster right now. I think that will change eventually. Obviously, wide receiver is an issue. We talked about that. But I think outside linebacker depth is kind of iffy. I mean, you got three stars or two stars and one star in the making. But what do you have after that? Not much of anything. Now, you might only use three guys in a game. That's all great until somebody gets hurt. So I think depth-wise, outside linebacker has to be included there as
well. Isn't that why they should be scouring the waiver wire to try and find some help?
I'm sure they are. I mean, people have to clear waivers in 24 hours. So what's that, about 4 o'clock today? So that's when you'll see some practice squad guys come back and other guys that they'll be able to sign. They didn't have to do that with a guy like Boston Scott because I think he was a better, tested veteran. He could just sign wherever he needed to sign at. I mean, it was quiet yesterday, transactional outside the organization, which was kind of surprising to me, but I don't anticipate that staying that way. You're going to see some names coming back into the mix here in the next 2-3 days. Before they get back on the field here on Monday. So I think that's the way it's going to, I mean, if it's Patrick Peterson, I think there's an opportunity there for him because he can play multiple positions and he doesn't need to really ramp up, right? He already knows everything. You can debate on how much he has left in him, but I'll take a Patrick Peterson over a Thomas Graham. No offense to Thomas Graham, right?
No offense to Thomas Graham. We wouldn't want to offend him at all. Mark, I'm under heavy clock pressure today. Yeah. So, Paul, do you mind if I engage Mark in a game of free association?
Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead, he said.
As long as it's only quarterback talk, right?
Well, no, there's some other treats coming in here. I'm going to kick this off, believe it or not, with a clip of Doug Whaley from The Morning Show talking about Broderick Jones and what is going on with him. Take a listen to this, Mark.
What worries me with the talent that you see and knowing he produced at a very significant level in the NFL as a rookie last year, what's going on off the field? That, to me, has to be investigated of why is he not taking that jump? As Coach always says, from year one to year two, you want to see a marketable jump. If he's where he is now and it seems like he's been stagnant and maybe regressed a little bit, it's obviously not for his ability. Seems like everybody else on the offensive line has developed under Pat Meyer.
Is that it? That cut off very surprisingly. Your take on that? He's wondering about off the field issues. What's your whole take on the Broderick Jones situation?
I'm unaware of any off the field issues at all, so I can't speak on that. As for on the field, I mean, we're jumping to the law. I love Doug. I mean, he's a very smart man, GM, of course. But we're jumping to assumptions that this guy hasn't made any leap based on a couple poor preseason games because of a bad elbow and a potentially bad thumb here. I mean, that's two pretty important body parts you need to be a successful offensive lineman. I think he's fine. I just think, you know, this is a guy that didn't play a ton in college, 8 games. What did he play last year? 10 games. So he's still a very young and inexperienced individual. So I think he'll be just fine. Honestly, I think he'll be all fine. Right. I don't think the switch to left or right is a difference. I think he's talented enough to go to left on a whim and, you know, say it right if they need him.
All right, let's get to free association then. We could talk about that for a while. Who's going to start?
I could tell you who the starting quarterback is right now, because but that would be violation of policy.
Gee, I wonder if it's Russell Wilson. Who's going to start at right tackle in the opener?
I think it's going to be Broderick. I think, although Fatana looked pretty decent today working on some sets, I just think it's very tough for him to miss that much of time. And I don't think Dan Moore has had a pretty solid training camp. You want to have your best, healthiest guys out there to start the season at least. I'm not saying Fatana won't eventually replace him game 2, 3, 4 or whatever, but I think right now you're going Broderick Jones right, you're going Dan Moore left, with probably Fatanu breathing down Dan Moore's neck, and they'll flip it back to the other side relatively quickly.
Wait a second. Fatanu breathing down Dan Moore's neck to play left tackle?
What I'm saying is, to play right tackle, then Jones will flip over to the left side.
Okay.
Can I ask you, because nobody's been able to give me a legitimate answer here, what sense does it make to start the season with Broderick Jones at right if you know you're going to move him to left?
Because I think they want to give themselves the best opportunity to win week one, week two, and they feel the best opportunity to win right away will put Dan Moore in his comfort zone and where he played at. More than worrying
about
how
is Broderick Jones getting better if he's not playing that position?
And how does he give you the best chance to win if he's getting thrown around like a lantern fly by Greg Russo?
Lantern flies are quick nowadays, so that might be a bad analogy. I can't even stomp on them anymore. They're so quick. But, I mean, you just got to do what's best for the team. And it might be more based on Dan Moore's comfortability and most of his reps at left tackle. You don't want to just flip it around here because Fatanu can't go because he's hurt. Let's just move Dan Moore to right just to help Broderick Jones out. Yeah, I'm a guy that thinks if you're a top 20 pick, there should be no problem switching from left to right. I mean, that's me personally. If you're that high of a pedigree of an athlete, it shouldn't be that difficult.
Well, it would if the injuries that you just mentioned, if you're punching with a different arm on the left side, right? If those injuries, don't those injuries get minimized if you move them over to the left side?
Well, I'm sure that somewhat, but I mean, depends on how you rush to. You might have to use that inside hand.
All right,
on
yes
the left
or no?
Side as well.
We have to go to the yes or no question. I'm all under right. immense pressure here. Freiermuth, Hayward, get extensions? Yes or no?
Freiermuth, yes. Hayward talked today, and he didn't seem very. It didn't seem very likely in his eyes. He wasn't really jumping for joy. So I would say no, even though I think, in my personal opinion, I think it gets done at the last minute, but I don't think he thinks it will. He knows more than me.
Wait, so Freiermuth will get done and you still think Hayward will get done?
I think they will. Okay. But I'm very, very, I'm on the outside with the Hayward thing. And when Hayward doesn't even think he's going to get extended, I think it might be that 12th hour of, hey, let's get this guy done. But I could be totally wrong on that too.
Thank you, big boy.
All right.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And What's Cooking, brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Paul, let me ask you a question here. To some, it might seem ridiculous, but the numbers tell a different story. The Cubs have gotten to Skeens a little bit today. He's proven to be human. He's had a couple of starts in recent weeks where he doesn't quite look like the same guy. Is that a matter of people figuring him out? Fatigue? Is it overblown? Because he won his last two starts and he was pretty great in his last one against the Reds, a two-hitter with nine strikeouts. Your thoughts on Skeens?
I mean, I hate the whole phrase, well, the league is going to punch back eventually, but you're playing against the best hitters in the world.
Yeah.
With the best scouting techniques, the video, all the stuff they do. They've gotten to see him now. They've gotten to see a lot of him. And so I think one of the things that he's going to do now is he's going to make some adjustments, and I expect him to be pretty dominant, you know, next year and beyond. He's got too good a stuff. But, you know, one of the things that happened with him, too, he was, excuse me.
God bless
you. He's a rookie.
Yeah.
Excuse me. He was a rookie. He was so good early on. The only way he could go is regress a little bit. And his regression has been very small. It's been a little bit, but, you know, he's still really good. So I am not worried at all about him. I mean, I just watched him throw past a guy like 99.
Me neither, and I don't even know what has happened in this game. Have they hit him hard, or how did they get their runs?
City limits.
There was a ground ball through the right side that scored a run. Then there was, I think, two fly balls. Well, weakly hit fly balls off a hop to O'Neill.
So it's not like they're pounding him.
No, they're not.
On the other hand, and like you said, Paul, you can't go on with a 190 ERA forever. Really, and that's where it was on July 11th when he went seven innings of no-hit ball against the Brewers and struck out 11. Really, since the All-Star break, you know, he still pitched really well, though, for the most part. For the most part, he's pitched really well. It's,
right.
It's bound to come back.
He's that
good. It's bound to even out a little bit.
He's been that good that we're complaining about, you know, not complaining, but we're saying, oh, is he regressing?
Well, the other thing is he's clearly not the same guy
that
went to the mound against the Dodgers and just blew away Ohtani and Betts at 100 miles an hour on every pitch.
I mean, that's, you know, I didn't expect him to be throwing 103 miles an hour in September, basically, or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, too. He's thrown more innings than he's ever thrown, or at least he's getting there. I'm not sure what the number is right now. And yet, in his last start, a two-hitter with nine strikeouts against the Reds over six innings.
Right.
So we'll see how that progresses. I also noticed that Dylan Cruz got his first hit last night. Did you see that? Got a double.
Yeah.
Two hits.
Did he? Well, he got his first hit, and then he got another. So I'm very confident that Skeens was the right pick at the top of that draft. Based on this season as it stands right now, you could argue that he's the greatest young pitcher maybe in baseball history. That's pretty good, isn't it?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
I think he's probably top five, maybe the best starting pitcher in all baseball.
How did the Pirates score their runs today?
Well, Rowdy had a bloop to left field that a couple of the middle infielders did not play properly. Dansby Swanson maybe was able to catch, and there was some miscommunication there from him and Candelario. And they've hit the ball well. O'Neill Cruz had a ball that was hit to the wall that ended up putting him and Reynolds in second and third to be able to allow for the Rowdy bloop hit. Billy McKinney has an RBI base
Billy
hit.
Billy McKinney.
There he is.
Billy McKinney.
Grandal has a couple walks. Triolo got his average up to 202. Here's the thing about them.
There's so many bad hitters in that lineup.
Oh, but here's the other thing, Paul, is that if they had just gone 3-7, instead of losing 10 in a row, they'd still be in it. They would still be in it right now. They'd be 65-66, something like that. And it was really the back end of the bullpen, in my opinion, that killed them worse than anything else. You agree with that?
That was those games. How many games? I mean, it's pretty easy to see. I mean,
they actually hit in some of those games and still lost.
They had, you know, Bednar, I think, twice and Colin Holderman four times. That was six games that those two relievers cost them. You know what I mean? And that during that stretch. So, yes, it was the back end of the bullpen. But I just think, I don't know. I think you are what your record says you are.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills limits. Do we have any texts? I know we don't have the music that goes with texts.
We have breaking news.
What do we have?
The Steelers have named a quarterback, the week one starter in Atlanta. Russell Wilson will take the field as the starter as the starting quarterback for the Steelers against the Falcons on September 8th. I'm stunned.
Why do you think that Tomlin kept that a secret for so long, Paul? I have no idea, because if the idea was to well, maybe it was, because teams do for the opener. I'm sure you have a lot of advanced game planning and scouting, and maybe they wanted the Falcons to think that it could be either or and complicate their preparation.
Do you really?
But there's still
that?
So much time left.
Right there. I mean, we still have another week and a half till the game.
I mean, do I really believe it? Yeah, I believe football coaches will do that. What other reason could there possibly be for waiting this long? Any idea?
Satisfy Justin Fields and his agent?
Because he likes to play games with the media?
That's a good point. Games with the media, yes. And maybe, Paul, he wanted to carry on the ruse of a competition to appease Fields and his agent. I actually think that City Limits is very insightful for that comment.
Yeah. Well, when they brought him here, they told him he was going to have a chance to compete. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think we're going to see Fields out there for packages as a quarterback? Is he going to take over for one or two series even as a quarterback during these games, or no? Or will we just see him as a, you know, whatever, running back, slot guy, something, a slash type role? Or will we not see him at all?
We won't see him.
We won't see him in the opener.
I don't think we'll see much. I don't think we'll see him play for the reason I've been saying for a long time. He's your backup quarterback. You put him out there on one of these plays and he gets hurt, then you're screwed. You know what I mean?
You might be right, but isn't that living in your fears? For me, I've got to get this guy on the field indoors in Atlanta with a fast track. My God, I've got to get him. I got to get the ball in his hands five times in that game, Paul.
Right. Well, I don't. And if you feel that way, then why don't we make him a starter?
Well, there's a difference between being the quarterback and being a guy that I run a jet sweep to or run a screen pass for or give the ball to on a handoff or a read option, whatever it might be. I might even be inclined to give him a series at quarterback and see what happens, because I think Wilson's the better quarterback. But I think Fields is an electrifying guy with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, but I think you want to make sure that you have continuity with your offense. I think you can play too many games like that and it actually hurts you, doesn't help you.
Mike Tomlin has said, according to Alan Saunders, that a package of plays for Justin Fields is quote-unquote on the table.
It should be more than on the table. It should be served.
Well, that's obviously something they're just giving to Atlanta to think about.
For sure. But I think that will happen one way or another. Number of touches Fields gets in game one, over under 2.5. Paul?
I'll say under.
Under. I think he gets 2. It's a good number.
I'm going to say over. I'm going to say he gets anywhere from 4 to 6, and I think he gets a series at quarterback, or at least a couple plays at quarterback. Maybe in the red zone, I don't know, although Wilson was very good in the red zone last year. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. High 92 today with sunny skies. We're going to have a ton to talk about. Tomorrow, we'll hear what else Mike Tomlin had to say today. We're really going to take a look maybe at some Steeler predictions. We'll see how this scheme start turns out. O'Neal Cruz, his first time in center field. Paul, I hope you have the time of your life, whatever you're doing this afternoon and tonight. City Limits, I love you dearly.
I love you dearly as well. We'll be playing basketball. The producers are playing basketball today again to become a phenomenon.
Is Donnie Football in on that?
No, Donnie Football is hosting tonight.
How about Jolie Nelson?
Joel will be playing, yes.
Power forward?
Where are you playing
basketball? I don't
know.
I've never played with these guys, and I don't know where we're playing. I have to check this chat that I've been put in.
All right. Well, good luck tonight. Paul, I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you much.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.